All right, take your Bible, if you will, this morning. Open it to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. You say, well, preacher, I was looking forward to a Christmas message. Well, next Sunday is Christmas Eve. And there is a possibility you will hear a Christmas message. Look, Christmas is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing else that I know to preach than the Lord, all right? And so we'll talk about him a little bit this morning. And while you're turning there, I was sitting here thinking, people are so afraid they're going to be heard singing, I think. I went to my son and I have been doing this for years. They play the state championship football games over at AT&T Stadium. And so we always have gone on Saturday, and we went yesterday. Usually get to watch three games. I didn't get to see the first one because I was at the funeral for Dr. C.W. Fisk, a great, faithful man of God, and passed away, and they had his funeral service yesterday, so went to that. And then my wife dropped me off over there at the stadium, went in. Hey, if you want to draw attention to yourself, all you have to do is when they play the national anthem, sing it.
Amen. Amen.
And it's like people, my son and I believe the national anthem. If you're an American, you ought to sing it.
Amen.
I believe you ought to sing it. So we go to those football games, we sing. And but people there, it's like, what is that noise I hear? And people look around, you know, and what do you... You know, they're used to somebody, I guess, being paid to perform it. And nothing irritates me like a performance of our national anthem, where somebody slides every note and move it around, just sing it, you know. And so we sing it, but it never fails. There's always somebody that says, basically in one way or another, hey, thanks, I enjoyed that. And I always say, were you singing? You ought to be singing. This one lady, she turned around and said something. I said, well, hey, you know the words, don't you? So anyhow, but it does draw attention to you, I'll tell you. You say, well, is that why you do it? No. I sing because I'm proud to be an American.
Amen.
I'm glad to live in the greatest country on earth. I'm glad to be there, and I'm just glad that we have a national anthem. Somebody says, well, it's hard to sing. So what? Sing it, you know. Even more, I believe in singing while you're in church. And nothing irritates me like being like I am today and with a cold and not able to sing. It's just kind of a croaking noise that comes, you know. But I'm afraid if I sing too much, I'll start coughing. So, all right, you're there in Acts chapter 6, right? Verse 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on him. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of some things never change. Some things never change. Look, the New Testament church is not a recent invention. All right, we stand today. It's been going now for almost 2,000 years. In those 2,000 years, the devil has fought it. The world has often derided it. And history, in truth, would like to ignore it. But it's still there, all right? And It still stands, and by the way, it will stand because Jesus Christ started it while here on this earth, and what he does for always, all right? It's there, and he commissioned that church. He empowered it then. He empowers it today. The church still goes on. This is a local, independent, New Testament, in our case, Baptist church, all right? Local church. Now, in those days, it was the early days of the church. All right, you ever been involved in something that's brand new? When you are, you find out you sort of learn as you go. And now you say, well, they were just learning, God wasn't in it. No, God was in it all the way. But they were learning as they went. I don't believe the decisions they made were accidental. I believe God led them in all the paths that they went. I believe they were guided by the Holy Ghost of God, just like you and I today are to be guided the same way. If you're saved, that Holy Spirit lives within you. He's to guide you. The Bible said he'll guide you into all truth, and he will if we'll let him do it. But as we've read today here in the Scriptures, a problem came up. Problems sometimes come up in the church. And a problem came up here, and the solution was to choose out men to help the apostles. Men that were going to be stand in and say, hey, there's things need to be doing, we'll do it. These were what we know as the first deacons. And by the way, they set the standard for those that would follow. And now we read those names. Only two of those names do we know anything much more about. We know a little bit more about Stephen and Philip. Stephen and Philip were preaching deacons. They were preaching deacons. They were the first ones. But this morning, what I want to focus on, if we could, rather than focusing on the deacons and the individuals, could we just focus a little bit on the situation that was there? Because as I said, I want to preach to you, some things never change. You said, like what? Well, number one, the need for the word. The need for the word. Notice there in verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God. Leave the word of God. Hey, there is a need for the word. The apostles quickly saw that this problem that had shown up could distract and prove to be a detraction from the Word of God. Nothing is more important than the Word of God. The Word of God ought to hold the primacy, the position of greatest importance in the house of God. When you come to a church, you ought to expect to hear something from the Word of God. That's what it ought to be. You say, well, you don't like cantatas. Not particularly, but I'm not against them, all right? I'm not against them. But, hey, it's okay to have one, not against it. But, man, if it's a church service, the Word of God needs to be spoken. The Word of God needs to be preached. We need to have something from the Word of God. It just holds that place of primacy. It is needed. Hey, buddy, I tell you, it's needed more today than it was then. It's needed more than anything else. It was true then, still true today. We have a great need for the Word of God all the way. And by the way, God said he's elevated his Word to a position above that of his very name. Look back in Psalms 138, would you? Psalm 138. Now, he's given the Lord a name that's above every name. The Bible tells us that, but at the same time, in Psalm 138 and verse 2, the Bible says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Hey, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of our God, the great God, Jehovah, is a great name. It holds a very high position. It is a name that, as I've said, every knee is going to bow one of these days to that name. But at the same time, our Bible says his word has been elevated above his name. It's important. It is important. It's the word of God that's to be proclaimed. It's the word of God's to be preached. It's to be published. It's to be promoted. And bless your heart, it is to be practiced. We're to put it into practice. And you can't practice something unless it's been known. If you don't know it, you can't practice it. All right? You can't send somebody home and say, practice your part. Well, what's my part? Well, just figure it out. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that at all. If, you give somebody that, or if somebody has an instrument, you give them that instrument, say, practice the song you've got. Well, I don't have a song. Well, figure it out. Well, you can't practice that. You can only practice what you know. That's why it's so important the Word of God be proclaimed. The Word of God be preached. Why? So you can know it, so then you can turn around and put it in practice in your life. So you can say, here it is, I know what I'm supposed to do, so I will put that word into practice. Hey, there's a need for the Word of God. Always be a need for it. And we can get along without the Word of man. But we can't get along without the Word of God. Say, how important is it? Take your Bible back to the book of Job, would you? Way back to the book of Job, right in front of the book of Psalms is the book of Job. I want you to look there in Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. How important is the Word of God? How important could it possibly be? Well, here's what Job said. Job 23 verse 12. He said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He said, boy, I think more of the Word of God, and I put more value on the Word of God, Job said, than I do that food that's necessary to keep me alive. Hey, why is that? Because you will dry up, shrivel up completely spiritually if you don't have the Word of God. You don't have that book. I'm sure you've heard of many times there prisoners of war. Back during Vietnam, those prisoners were captured and kept in for years, and they testified of how they would get together and write out all the Bible they could remember. All the Bible they could remember. Now, how much could you write out? John 11:35, Jesus wept. I wonder if that's all that some people could. But these fellows got together and they would write it out, risking torture if they were caught. And they were, from time to time, get caught with it and were beaten. But they'd still, once it was taken away and destroyed, guess what? They'd start writing it out again because of what it meant to them. It's this book, all right? It's this book right here. Job said, man, I've esteemed it more than my necessary food. He said, preacher, I don't know if I value it that much. Can I ask you this? If you're saved today, you've been born again only through this book. Somebody preached it. Somebody witnessed to you. Somebody read to you this book. Boy, it's this book that does it. It's this book that gives us our help. It's this book that gives us our hope. It is this book that sustains us as Christians. We do it every year. We emphasize, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Coming up soon, we'll be passing out some cards helping you to keep records so you can read your Bible through in a year. So why do you do that? Because it's so necessary. So helpful. Get that book in you. Hey, we see some things never change there in Acts. The importance and the need for the Word of God. It was there. But wait a minute. If you're back there in Acts chapter 6, I want you to look in verse 3. There's a need for something else. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. There is a great need, not only for the Word, but there is need today for wisdom. Wisdom. There are a lot of smart people in the world. By that I mean men of and women of great high IQs. They know a lot. They've got great knowledge. But oftentimes, it's not coupled with wisdom. I kind of say it this way, wisdom is your ability to use what you know. What you know. I had an uncle who was a college professor, had a PhD, very smart individual, but the dumbest guy I think ever been around. He had no wisdom. He had no common sense about him. And the Bible says that what was needed in that day was men that were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Wisdom, I'm afraid, becomes rarer each day as we live. It just gets rarer and rarer. There's not. And how much less do we see people with wisdom and the Holy Ghost? Got both of those in them. There was a need for that in that day. Hey, look, you need the Word of God, but you need wisdom to be able to apply that Word in your life. You need that wisdom that goes with it. We need the wisdom of God to face the circumstances, the situations, the trials that we meet every day along the way. You need wisdom. Brother Earl praying over here and asked us to pray for him. Why? He needs wisdom. He needs wisdom. Needs to know what to do. He needs to know how to apply it. You and I need that, all right? Man, if you hold any kind of leadership position, you especially need God's wisdom. You need it along the way. I met somebody this last week that worked for Tom Thumb. I thought of you immediately. I started to bring you up, but I thought, man, he might know her and say, yeah, that's one makes my life miserable. No, I was kidding. All right? Hey, but if you got any kind of position of leadership, you need wisdom. You need wisdom. Man, you have to make decisions. You say, well, I don't have any position of leadership. Whoa, wait a minute. You got kids? You need wisdom. You need wisdom. You work a job? You need wisdom. So I'm safe. I'm retired. The kids are all grown. You're married? You need wisdom. You need wisdom. Hey, it's needful. We have to make decisions. You need that wisdom. And it's so lacking. Hey, but some things never change. One thing never changes, that need for wisdom. You may make the greatest decisions in the world today. You made a good one. You decided to come to church. But tomorrow's a new day. You need wisdom for tomorrow. You're going to face decisions. What am I going to do? You're going to have to make that decision. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. Well, the good thing about it, wisdom's available for the asking. It's available. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask God for it. Ask God for it. You need that wisdom. You say, well, preacher, that's just an easy out. No, it's not. It is the only out. You ask God for wisdom that you need. We stand here, we talk about it. Some of you are going to need wisdom about what you buy to give to somebody else. Some need wisdom to realize, you know what? They can get along without an expensive gift. I don't need to be in debt. I don't need to mortgage next year in order to provide gifts this year. You don't. What's wrong with saying, hey, I was broke. Let me give you a big hug and a Merry Christmas wish and let you know I love you. You say, well, boy, that's no big deal. That's the best deal you can have. Now, some of y'all looking at each other said, man, what an idea. I won't have to wrap it either. Hey, listen, we need wisdom. We need wisdom. Hey, there's a need for the Word of God. There's a need for wisdom. I want you to go back to Acts 6. Look at verse 1 there, would you? And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected. So what is it? There's a need for work. There's a need for work. Now, you might have been okay when I said need for the Word of God. All right, preacher, amen, preach it. And I said there's a need for wisdom. Yes, preacher, that's right, preach it. There's a need for work. Now, hold on, preacher. hey, there's a need. The problem in the early church, the Bible said the widows were being neglected, or at least some of the members felt that way. Hey, can I say this? There's always some job that needs to be done in a local church. There's always a job. You say, well, I don't have a job. Well, are you looking hard to find one? I'm amazed at the people that will call the church or come by and say, preacher, I need some help. My first question, where do you go to church? Well, I haven't been able to find one yet. How long have you lived here? 6 years. Well, you're looking hard, right? You're looking hard. Hey, there's some things we don't look for. Sometimes people don't look for the work that needs to be done. Hey, there's work that needs to be done. There is absolutely no shortage of work. The shortage is in the workers, all right? You say, well, wait a minute, I thought you said just preaching the Bible. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 21. All right, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, I want you to look down at verse 28. Matthew 21, verse 28 in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ was teaching here, and he uses a parable, and he said, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. There's a need for work. Jesus called that fella, and he said, this master used this illustration of a master and a man calling his son and said, go work. Go work. Go work. Look in Mark chapter 13, all right? Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. I want you to look, if you will, here down in verse 34. Mark chapter 13, verse 34. The Bible said, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Now notice, would you notice very carefully what the Bible says? He said he gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. Where to work? There's a need for work. Just plain and simple. There is a need for work. There was a need in the early church. All right, in those early days, there was a problem arose. There's a need for work. Can I say this to you? There's not a church in the world can exist just on the work of the pastor. Cannot do it. There's too much work that needs to be done. Way too much work that needs to be done. Now listen, you can look at the floor, you can look at your wife, you can look at the ceiling, but the Lord's looking at you. Every man, his work, all right? We ought to all be involved. The work in Jerusalem involved taking care of the widows. The work of God includes that, but includes a whole lot more. Some work in the public eye. Some work in the public eye. They get out, they're seen. The pianist is seen. All right, obviously, it's there. Brother Leeper, he's playing the guitar. He's seen. He's there. You can't miss it, all right? I like it when Matthew's here and he's able to play the trumpet. Love to hear that trumpet playing. He can be seen. Some people say, well, if there was just something where you could see me. Wait a minute. So much of the work is done unseen. Unseen. This may sound crude to you, don't mean it to be, but why do you like to stop at Bucky's? I'll tell you, one reason I stopped at Bucky's, they got the cleanest restrooms I've ever been in and anywhere around. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. You go somewhere, somebody's done some work. Hey, I like it when the church restrooms are clean. I like it when the floor's clean. I like it when you don't see cobwebs hanging. Now, don't go looking around for them. There might be one hanging, all right? But I was invited to stay at this person's house one time, and a person I know and I've known for years, and I love them. And I know they had fixed up, tried to cover everything, and I lay down in the bed, and I saw this big cobweb all the way, went across the room. I got up, marched in there, and said, "I cannot believe the filth you expect me to stay in." Well, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I didn't think it was filthy. I thought it was clean. They just missed the cobweb. But don't you like it that if you are looking for it and you can't find it, it says somebody's put in the work. Somebody's put in the work. Hey, it takes work to get a choir together to sing. Somebody has to do that. It takes work. It takes some effort. There's work, all right? Some in the public eye, some behind the scenes. The work of God suffers because many do so little. I've heard it said many times that 10% of people in the church do 90% of the work. That's probably true. Why? Because people don't avail themselves of the opportunity. Now, if you're a member of First Baptist Church, I don't want you to think I'm chewing you out. I'm not chewing you out. I'm trying to encourage you. But hey, if you're a member, you're not a member, I want you to see that if you're saved, there's a work for you to do. There is a work for you to do. Now, the last point goes with this point, okay? Not only is there a need for the Word of God, great need for the Word of God. Not only is there a need for wisdom, always will be. Not only is there a need for work, because there's plenty of work, but there is a need for willingness. Willingness. Did you notice there in verse 3, they said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men. Find them." And the saying, verse 5, pleased the whole multitude, and they chose, and they named the seven that they chose, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Do you notice what's not here? There's no evidence that any one of those seven men said, oh, don't pick me, because you're picking people to work. Don't pick me. There is not that. There's none of that there, all right? There's not any. None of them said, "Would you pick somebody else? I can't help it. I've got this sense of humor that's probably a little bit warped. But I have in my mind's eye a cartoon I saw years ago, The Far Side. Far Side cartoons. Now, I'll be honest, I like them. They're a little warped. I'm a little warped, okay? But there's, on this one cartoon, it's this one panel. And in this one panel, you can see you're looking through the scope on a high-powered rifle. And in the crosshairs, there's a bear. And that bear is going, pointing to the bear next to him. And don't shoot me, him or her. That's the one you need, you know. And I can't help it. I think about that when we think of this willingness. What a blessing it is when folks are willing to put forth some effort. If you were to go to Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, Nehemiah had the job of taking folks to Jerusalem and rebuilding the walls. But in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, we find the verse that says the work was done because the people had a mind to work. They were willing. They were willing to work. I want you to take your Bible, Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. He said, why are we going to the Old Testament? Because the Bible said what happened to them was for examples to us. All right? 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I want you to look at verse 21. And I want you to listen. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to listen very closely. If you do have a Bible, I want you to take the time to go there. 1 Chronicles 28. It's very easy to find 1 Chronicles. It's right before 2 Chronicles, all right? It's easy to find. You there? 1 Chronicles chapter 28. The last verse. Give you time. I don't mind giving you time, all right? So I want you to see this because it's important what's here. All right, verse 21, 1 Chronicles 28. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be wholly at thy commandment. David is encouraging his son to build the temple. David has organized a lot of the material. It's there ready. God wouldn't let him build it. But now it's Solomon's chance. He's going to get that opportunity. And that's what he said. He talks about the Levites, the priests, and he said, they'll be involved, and there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship. You're right there. Notice the next three words. Every willing, skillful man. Every willing, skillful man. Skill is a wonderful thing to have. It's good to be skilled, but it's worthless if you're not willing. It's worthless. Absolutely worthless to be skillful if you're not willing. You're not willing to use what you're skillful at. Doesn't matter. You can be the greatest bricklayer. We lived in Vidalia, Georgia. When I was a kid, there was a guy lived on the corner. His last name was Coon. He was a bricklayer. Mr. Coon could lay bricks and blocks faster than anybody I've ever seen in my life. Ever since, I've never seen anybody. Not just fast, but skillfully laid. They were right. They were done right. And man, he'd take that mud, scoop it, poof, put it there, tap, tap, next one, and he's going with it. And I mean, it was straight, perfectly straight. He had it going. Skillful man. But if he hadn't been willing, he would have never built anything. You can have all the skill in the world, but you need to be willing. You need to be willing to do it. Hey, if you don't have a willing mind and spirit, then all the skill in the world does no good. And you think, well, I'm not good enough. Well, why don't you take what you've got and put it to work for God? Hey, some things just never change. There has to be a willingness on the part of people. Has to be that. Here in that New Testament church in Jerusalem, man, people were being saved. When there's blessing of God, there's going to be problems that come up. There's going to be problems that come up. Somebody has to be willing to say, hey, I see the work. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. I'll volunteer. Hey, I want to ask you this morning. What are you doing for God? What are you willing to do? Well, I'm only willing to do what can be seen. Oh, so in other words, it's all about you, not about what you can do for God. And thank God for people that'll work. We've got some folks that are here. Man, you're happy. You do things. Nobody sees it unless they just happen to come by at the right time. Nobody sees it. Nobody sees it. I came home, man, I guess it was Thursday or Friday. I can't remember now for sure which day it was. I came home, I drove up to my house, and at first I didn't realize. But I drove up, I got out of my car, and then I began to look around. I'm going, whoa, what happened to all the leaves that were in my yard? I mean, I've got trees that shed leaves. Worst thing, I got neighbors' trees. They always shed their leaves on my yard. I've threatened to bag them up and dump them over the fence, but don't think that'd be the right thing to do. But man, those leaves were gone. Now, I'm pretty sure I know who did it. They came out, they took my mower, greatest invention in the 20th century, the mulching mower. You don't have to rake them, you just grind them up with a lawnmower. Hallelujah. But man, they were gone. They were gone. Now they're back. I just thought I'd mention that, all right? David, I want you to know, somebody showed up. Nobody watching. They took care of it. Hey, listen, I appreciate what was done for me. We have the opportunity to serve the great God of the universe. Hey, there is a need for the Word. There will always be a need for the Word of God. There's a need for wisdom. You need it. I need it. We need that wisdom. We can get it if we ask God for it. But there's a need for work. There's work to be done. Don't go looking. When people look for a church, they look for a church and they say, well, I want this and this and this and this. I like it if somebody says, well, I want a place I can serve God. Not something's all about me and it's coming my way, but a place I can serve God. Place where I can serve Him. Hey, but there needs to be a willingness to do it. I just ask you this morning, hey, do you see the need? Will you work to fill it? Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Are you willing to do what He wants you to do today? You say, well, nobody's drafted me. You ever heard of volunteering? You ever just heard of volunteering? Here I am. I'll do it. Just volunteer. See something needs to be done. Say, hey, I'll take care of that. Now, if it's around the church, it'd be real good if you'd call and make sure you did what we wanted to do. You know? But, hey, there's work to be done. Will you do it? How willing are you to be involved? Thank God there were 7 men in that church at Jerusalem were willing. And undoubtedly they had wisdom because they chose out men that were wise. They saw the need. They saw the need. You see that need? See that need? Will you fill it? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Just a very simple message. Message, Lord, to the church. Lord, there's some things that never change. One, we need the Word of God.